Good morning to all of you. Love how y'all visit with each other. Y'all like each other. That's always a good thing to see in a church. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who calls us here at this time and in this place and in this space to give our thanks and praise to God. And we do so for so many reasons, but we're incredibly grateful that we have the health and the strength and the opportunity to be here this morning. We've made a point to be here, not just for ourselves, but for each other. And that's something to celebrate and to give thanks for. Want to also give a special shout out, as always, to those watching us online. Sometimes we have new folks watching us online, and I'm always grateful for those who watch us all around the world. So I want to give a special shout out to the folks in Barcelona today who've been following us very closely over the last few months. We're thankful for their presence with us today, virtually. And if you're visiting with us today, and I know we have some visitors among us today, just know that you're our guest. We're very thankful that you're here, and we hope you feel welcome and appreciated because you are, in the fact that you have chosen Central United Methodist Church to be your place to worship today. All right, so tomorrow will be our last small group session with me. It's been so successful. I've been amazed at the thousands of folks who've come out for these small groups. And I especially am thankful to Jim Hasty and Kathy Worley, who've been to every single one of these and have helped make them smooth and successful. I'm grateful for the staff parish committee. It's been a great opportunity for me to kind of get a jump start in knowing some of you, but most importantly, from hearing from you about what your dreams and hopes are for Central and your concerns and joys. So it's been a really great time together, and tomorrow night will be our last. Well, today's Promotion Sunday, and you'll see more about that as we go through our service. We've got some important meetings scheduled for this week, but you can look on the back of the bulletin under the calendar to see those at this time. Well, let us continue to worship.
Let us pray. Holy Wisdom, you granted Solomon's request for an understanding mind and the knowledge to discern good from evil. Fill us with such understanding and knowledge that we may act as instruments of your loving desire for creation, working with you to transform our conceit into concern for others, our fear into love, our violence into peace, and our brokenness into wholeness. Amen. I invite you to join me now in our confession of faith. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort and strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God found in Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. We believe in the Church, we who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapters 2 and 3. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 43 years, and he reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king should compare to you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. This ends our first lesson. And at this time, I invite all of our children forward and any youth who want to come, who aren't too cool to come, for the blessing of the backpack. Oh, we've got some great backpacks up here. All right, you want to sit down with them, John? Thank you. Awesome. So, for a lot of you, maybe not all of you, what happens tomorrow? School, that's right, school is coming. And we, as a church, want you to know that we love you, we support you in going back to school, and that God loves you. So we're gonna do a couple things. First, we're gonna have, if there are any educators out there, whether you're a teacher, whether you work in a school, whether you are an administrator, or any of our educators out there, most of them are not here today. Oh, I see one who's not standing up. That's okay.
Retired.
You can stand up. There we go. We've got a few here and some behind me in the choir. So we want to remember you all in our prayers as well. This is a big time, not just for our kids and our students, but for all of our educators, whether you be in the classroom, in a college classroom, or otherwise. Thank you for all that you do. If you want to be seated, you may. Also, we want to remember our parents. It is a big thing to send your kids back to school, especially during these times. So we are thinking and praying for you too. So before we give out our backpack tags, I'm going to say a prayer for us, and to pray for us and bless our backpacks. So let's all pray together. It will not repeat after me this time, okay? Let us pray. Oh God, today we gather to celebrate the beginning of a new school year. It is a day filled with joy and excitement, as well as uncertainty and wonder. God of knowledge and wisdom, we pray for you and for all schools that they may be lively centers for learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of goodness. As students begin the year, give them open minds and open hearts to learn and experience more fully the majesty of the world you have created. May this year be full of promise for them and for their teachers, as together they experience new beginnings and fresh starts. Enable them to grow in knowledge and wisdom during this school year and all the days that fill their lives. As we enter another school year in the midst of COVID, we ask you lead and guide administrators to best create a safe environment for learning. Bless the hands that keep schools clean and children fed. Ease any anxiety among parents or caregivers. Now, O God, bless these backpacks and those who carry them, these students, all the teachers, parents, caregivers, administrators, school staff, cafeteria workers, custodians, and the communities that surrounds them, to know of your love and care as we enter a new school year. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, Pastor Cam is going to hand out a backpack tag for you. Now, these, if you look at them, they say, be loved, be kind, be you. So I want you to remember, this is going to be a reminder for you on your backpack or whatever you take with you, that you are loved by God, for you to be kind and carry that kindness with you, but also to be you, because you are a wonderful gift of God and you being yourself is just what your school needs and just what the world needs. Awesome. Okay, so now, lucky you, you get to stay up here for the children's sermon. So what is something that we usually fill our backpacks with when you go to school? Let me get the microphone for you, Xavier.
School supplies.
School supplies. Okay, what kind of school supplies might we fill our backpacks with?
Pencils, glue, crayons.
Okay, pencils, glue, crayons. Brooklyn, you have something you want to add?
Scissors, composition books.
Yeah. And books. That's right. Those are all things you can fill our backpacks with. Now, I have two different kinds of books with me today. I have a book where you can learn all about how to do social media that teaches you, oh, this is how you do this kind of post, and this is how you do that kind of post. It teaches you all the things you need to know about that. And I have a Bible. Now, this is actually the Bible that I got when I was in third grade from my church. Now, just a minute ago, I read about Solomon. He had one wish he could ask for from God. And what he decided that wish was going to be was for wisdom. Now, it's really important for us to learn things in our school books or books like this that tell us how to do things, to learn our math and our reading and all of that. That's really important. But Solomon knew that being wise and learning how to make the right decisions in life was even more important. And so he asked God to help make him wise, and he did. So in a minute, our third graders are going to receive Bibles from the church. And what I want you to remember about the Bible is that it helps tell us the stories of faith. It helps us to know Jesus. We can know God even better. And it can help us learn in those relationships that we have with God how to make good and right decisions, how to be wise. So if you will pray with me. Dear God, thank you for your word. Help us to make good decisions at school, at home, and everywhere we go. Amen. All right, thank you very much. So I'm going to have our third graders stay up here. And if you are not a third grader, do you want to watch the third graders? You do? Okay. If you want to watch the third graders, why don't you come sit right here? Do you want to come watch the third graders? No, you don't want to watch? Why don't you go find your parents then, okay? So you can go find your parents and go to children's church. Yep, there's your dad right there. All right. So let me get... Oh. So can y'all stand up for me? Thank you. So these are our wonderful third graders who are going into third grade. And as part of our ministry here at Central, we gift third graders with a Bible. And you all are a part of this gifting. We want to make sure that they know that they have this community of faith to help them learn and grow as they receive God's word. So I'm going to invite you to join me. We have a liturgy in the bulletin. I invite you to join me in reading the bold part when we get to that, as we support our third graders as they receive their Bibles. So, Xavier Rosalie Vila, receive the word of God. Learn its stories and study its words. Its stories belong to us all. And those words speak to us all. They tell us who we are. They tell us that we belong to one another, for we are the people of God. We rejoice in this step in your journey with God. We pray God will guide you, your family, and us as you use this Bible in your home, in your church school classes, and in our worship. We will learn together and grow in our love for God's Word. All right. So Rosalie, if you will come here, Pastor Cam is going to give you your Bible. All right, and Xavier, if you'll come forward. And Vila. Thank you very much. I'm so excited for you. Take this word, study it, use it to learn and know God and love God even more. And you can go back to yours.
So today is a day of recognition for, well, he's excited. Love that kind of enthusiasm. Today is a day of recognition, and we've already made a couple of them, but we've got one more we want to make, and I'll admit this one is a little bittersweet, I would say. It's a recognition, and it's something of ascending forth, and it helped me to do that. I've invited John Simmons and also Keith. We'll also, and by the way, Keith, we're so thankful you're back with us. That's a blessing and a joy. But anyway, they're going to help me with this.
You know, some people retire and take up golf or fishing or some other new or postponed hobby during their working years. Some people retire and sit down in a rocking chair. Some, however, stay retired for about 5 minutes, and then they jump back into some meaningful acts of service or justice making or kingdom building. Kay and Paul Wood are representatives of that latter. And I want Kay and Paul to stand, if you will. Paul was a youth director here 3 or 4 decades ago. And then he went on to Divinity School and was ordained and has served the South Carolina Annual Conference as a pastor for a number of years. Kay's ministry started in nursing, and then she was ordained and has joined Paul in many of those ministry years. Since retiring here and affiliating with Central, they've been instrumental in founding an upstate Reconciling Ministries network, supporting a Reconciling Ministries group here at Central, leading the Evangelism and Communication Committee for 2 years, and occasionally preaching in a pulpit where there was a temporary vacancy. And in just a minute, you'll hear about some other service they provided. This will be Kay and Paul's last Sunday with us. This coming week, they'll move to Camden, where they have family and a brand new grandchild. Before we bid them Godspeed and best wishes, Keith wants to add a few words. And after Keith's comments, I hope you'll join both Keith and me in thanking them for their participation in our fellowship and our ministry. And I'll ask them after church to come down here and stand in front so that you can speak to them personally and give them your best wishes.
I first met Paul Wood in the mid-70s when we were both students at Furman University and both of us sang in the tenor section in Furman Singers. Except for the occasional Furman homecoming or Furman Singers reunion, I don't know that I saw Paul ever or rarely since 1976. So imagine my delight when I met him again about 2 years ago and Kay. I remember us talking in the parking lot, and they were scoping out Central as their new church home. Since that time, I think you would agree with me, I hope you would agree with me, that they have become poster people for how to engage in one's new church home. They've set a high bar in that way. We will miss them, but as I've told both of them, We don't expect to say goodbye to you, but see you again. I told them this morning, expect you to come back here and visit occasionally. We're very thankful for your contributions to the chancel choir, and Godspeed to you until we see you again.
Thank you for that. So as we move into our pastoral prayer and our joys and concerns, certainly want to give thanks for the gorgeous flowers that are adorning our altar table today. The flowers are given to the glory of God and in honor of our three lovely daughters, Cynthia, Dottie, and Caroline by Duane and Sarah Royal. So we are certainly thankful for that. In terms of those we might want to remember in prayer today, want to continue to pray for Reverend Tom Wilkes. Now he has moved from the hospital to White Oak home for rehabilitation. So he's going to be undergoing physical and occupational rehabilitation. Want to keep Tom and Molly in our prayers. Keith, we'll continue to pray for you. Looks like you're doing well and everything's moving along, and we're thankful for that. Continue to pray for Stephanie Hatley and for Deborah Liner and Caroline Keaton and for Henry Sparrow. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, on this promotion Sunday, we are incredibly grateful for our young people and for the opportunities this congregation has afforded them to grow in their faith and in their relationship with you and their knowledge and understanding of the Bible. Oh God, just as Solomon asked so many centuries ago, we pray that you will grant them wisdom as well. We're thankful for Paul and Kay, and we do pray for God's speed upon them, that as they establish their new home and their new church home, that you will continue to find opportunities and avenues for them to use their gifts and talents in service of your church and especially your kingdom. God, we pray for those whose names have been spoken this morning, that you will touch each of them with your healing power, that you will grant them your comforting and reassuring presence. Bless the medical teams that watch over them, make decisions regarding their care. We pray for their caretakers, for spouses and loved ones who also need your strength and grace and patience to do what they are called upon to do at this time. We're thankful for our medical community, for our frontline workers, those who continue to put themselves at great risk, particularly during this surge in the COVID virus. We pray for those who are directly afflicted by it. We pray that more and more folks will choose vaccination as a means of grace that you have provided for us through medical science. Oh God, I pray that you will watch over us today and throughout the week ahead, and that you will indeed grant us the gift of wisdom as well. All this we ask in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite our ushers to come forward, please, to collect our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
reading from the Gospel according to John. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
So in our Old Testament lesson today, we read about King David, who has passed away, and he's now being succeeded by his son Solomon. And his son Solomon is given an opportunity directly by God. Ask me what you will as you inherit this kingdom. And apparently Solomon could have asked for it, really anything that he wanted to ask for, whatever his heart's desires might be. But as we saw, he asked for wisdom, the gift of wisdom. And God was so pleased to give Solomon the gift of wisdom that he also decided to give him everything else that a successful king would want to have. So as we think about this gift of wisdom today, it might be wise, so to speak, for us to start with a definition of wisdom itself, maybe a dictionary definition. And I've got a couple of here that are right out of the dictionary. One, wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The second is similar, but I like it a little bit more. The soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. But there's a third definition, and believe it or not, I saw this on a billboard years ago at a traffic light, so you were kind of held hostage there for a few moments to look at this billboard. But it had a definition of wisdom that is somewhat playful, but honestly, I think it rings so true to life that it's always stuck in my mind. And it's this: wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from a lack of wisdom. Boy, is that not so incredibly true in my life. Wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from a lack of wisdom. If you live long enough, you'll know exactly what that means. But it does attach the reality of experience. There seems to be a connection between wisdom and experience, and I think that's why in many cultures around the world, the elders, those who have reached an old age, are sought after for wisdom and guidance and maybe direction. Out of their hard-earned experiences in life, they are considered to be wise. So wisdom is something that you can acquire over a period of time. It's not automatic or necessary, but for many people, they do acquire it over time. It's a hard thing to define in many ways. But in our story today, it appears that wisdom is also a gift that can be granted by God, a gift, something to be sought after, something that we can ask for directly from God, and God will grant us this gift of wisdom. And we can certainly see this from our scripture lesson today, the Old Testament lesson at least, in 1 Kings chapters 2 and 3, but we also can see this notion that wisdom is a gift from other places in the Bible, including the New Testament. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. If any lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. There's so much that we could say about wisdom. I could probably do a sermon series on it. I could probably spend an hour talking about it today, but I know that would be very unwise to do that. So I want to just focus on one single aspect of wisdom today, especially as it ties into our overall theme of Promotion Sunday, students beginning a new school year, and also the giving of Bibles to our third graders. And what I really want to do is just very briefly discuss wisdom in terms of the intersection of wisdom and learning. And one of the virtues that are really tied tightly in all of this would be the virtue of humility. Mainly the idea that the wise person knows how little they actually know. The wise person is the one who knows how little they actually know. Some people, at least back in ancient Greece, there's a spider or something. Back in ancient Greece, Socrates was considered by some to be the wisest person who ever lived. At least that's what the oracle at Delphi thought at the time. And what made Socrates wise in his own eyes is that he went around claiming that he didn't know anything, really, about anything, that he knew nothing. He went around and proclaimed his ignorance. But what he also did was he went around and asked other people questions, so many questions that he began to find contradictions in their answers, so that they began to realize just how little they knew and how ignorant they were. And he was rewarded with a death sentence for going around and doing that in ancient Greece. But for him, wisdom was the recognition of how little he knew and how much he could learn. We see some sentiment of this in the Old Testament, Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The wise person always remembers that he or she does not know it all, and that their opinions could be wrong, or at least partially wrong. The wise always believe that there is more to learn, and that the other, whoever the other might be, even an opponent, so to speak, can be the vessel for that learning. The wise welcome differing perspectives, experiences, and insights, because they know that those differing perspectives and experience and insights may hold the seeds to greater learning. The wise person always sees him or herself as a student with regard to all subjects, even a subject one has devoted his or her life to. Wisdom as the recognition that I do not know it all, that actually I may know very little, and that there is much for me to learn in this world, that I am a continuous student, that I am a lifelong learner. So with that in mind, I want to close with this understanding of wisdom and how it can impact well-being. And I want to share this from a personal experience of mine. So I've shared with you that in 2011, I left the ministry. I quit the ministry. I've shared that with you before. And after I did that, I found myself in a counselor's office trying to figure out exactly why did I quit the ministry and what was going on inside of me. And of course, I learned that there were many things going on, but at least one thing that was going on with me and what had been kind of a centerpiece in my previous ministry was my constant desire to be successful and my great fear of being a failure. It seems like that was the center of my mindset in my first incarnation as a pastor. Successful, being successful, desiring to be successful, and my great fear of being a failure. And it caused me an enormous amount of anxiety constantly, as you can imagine. I would see everything through that lens, every project, every goal, every program. Would it be successful or would it be a failure? And unfortunately, I was basing a great deal of my sense of self-worth and self-esteem based on all of that, success versus failure. My therapist challenged me to begin looking at life through a different lens. And instead of looking at everything through the lens of pass, fail, success, failure, instead begin to look at everything through the lens of it's a learning experience. Begin to see everything in life as a learning experience. See everything in life as an opportunity for growth and personal self-development that never ends, no matter how long you live. I was encouraged to begin to see everything as an experiment. Everything that I attempt, everything that I do, everything that I propose, everything that I volunteer for, see it as an experiment. Because in an experiment, there really is no failure. There's only something to learn from the experience that you can take with you and improve upon it and try the experience again. You can always learn something valuable regardless of the intended results. You know, that's what scientists do. I think about Elon Musk and SpaceX. How many, quote, failures did he and that program endure in trying to create a rocket booster that would re-land itself? Failure after failure after failure, and then finally, success. But each time they had the, quote, failure, they learned something new that they could apply to the next attempt, and eventually, they got it right. Each, quote, failure revealed something new for improvement and development. Viewing life through this lens enables me to see every experience as that opportunity to learn and to grow, to adapt. A big part of life is adaptation and development. And I find incredible freedom looking at life through this lens. It's very liberating to be able to let go of this whole success, failure, fear of failure thing. To just let that go is incredibly liberating. And the more that I was able to do that, and the more that I continue to be able to do that, the more my anxiety about life lessens. And the more I begin to enjoy life and to enjoy learning and growing, even through things that simply do not work out, or at least do not work out the first time. Looking at life through the lens of an experiment and a learning opportunity has removed so much of the debilitating fear that really just plagued and soured my earlier years in ministry. Wisdom is indeed a prized gift, one that can impact every area of life, whether it be school or church or work or career, friendships, or anything else. But it especially can impact our well-being. To see life through the lens of being a lifelong student, a learner. And once you begin to see life that way, it's all opportunity for growth, nothing else. So today I pray that God will give each of us individually the gift of wisdom, but I especially pray that God will give us the gift of wisdom corporately, that we might fulfill God's will as Central United Methodist Church. Amen.
Thank you.
And once again, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and the power of His Holy Spirit bless each of you today and every single day. Amen.